Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. You're about to hear an excellent show, a slightly off-the-wall show, but we talk a lot about the Oasis movie premiere that we went to last night. And one thing I didn't mention during the course of this programme is that when I was on the train home from the premiere, I had a direct message from a listener about what you were wearing, Richie.
Oh.
Because we had our photos taken, there's a few photos.
Yes.
And he just, again, I can't remember. He just asked me, which I felt was a leading question. He says, is that turnips I see Richie wearing? Sounds like something you might get picked up on at school.
Yes.
Like new haircut. You got turnips?
Yeah.
Were they turnips?
They were turnips, yes. Yeah.
That's good. I think I've got a pair of jeans with turnips going on.
Yeah.
I think this, it's all fine.
I'm glad you think it's fine.
I think it's fine.
I'm more worried about the listener.
Yeah.
Because you've asked me the question with your tone, and that's fine.
Yes.
Tone. But we don't know what tone he was asking the question in. Has that listener got a problem with my turnips?
No, well, I replied saying, yes, I think they were.
Yeah.
And he's never replied.
No.
Why would you message someone out of the blue? We've never had a conversation before, me
no.
and this listener.
No.
Why would he want to know what you're...
Ask me directly.
Just come and speak to him.
If he wants to sneak into DMs, ask the person with the turnips.
Now, the other person who did not sneak into my DMs but sent me a message this morning about the photos is your daughter, Caitlin, who said, Dad doesn't look like he's having a good time.
You're kidding me. She's not mentioned that to me at all.
Well, because we're fish out of water on the red carpet, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
just normal people.
I've looked at the photos of myself.
Yeah.
And It's actually your fault.
What?
I'll tell you what's been going on, because I know what's going on in all of the pictures.
Okay.
I know what's going on.
Okay, we'll get to this at the end of the programme. What, that is worth sticking around for, I'll be honest with you.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
It is a Tuesday. We are back from the showbiz event of the week so far, and that was the Oasis premiere last night of their new documentary film, Don't Look Back in Anger. Bush and I had the privilege of being at the premiere and the privilege of walking the red carpet last night. Can I just say, first of all, what an underwhelming experience the red carpet is.
Well, I think for us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think there was definitely lots of photographers waiting around, but I don't know if people knew we were there. Maybe they thought we were catering.
It was chastening. We entered the red carpet. There's all these barriers up either side, lots of photographers around, people around.
Yeah.
People with jot pads wanting autographs. We were able to just breeze right through. It was like an early flight at Stansted or something. Like,
yeah.
Just right through checking.
Paid five extra quid just to get in the extra line. Didn't even check our bags,
it was
probably.
It's like speedy boarding of the... of the red carpet.
Do you know the other thing as well is that obviously there's lots of different press there and everything waiting to get interviews with people on the red carpet. In fact, our very own Ben Burrell from Absolute Radio was
Thank
there.
Thank God for him. He's the only person that called out to us.
Well, he said hello. He didn't want to chat though, did he?
No, he didn't, no.
Didn't want to ask us any questions. Hey, but we were privileged enough to see the film, Don't Look Back in Anger. And it was very emotional.
Mm.
It's weird. I think the whole, if you were lucky enough to go to any of the gigs for Live at 25, the Oasis reunion, it was all a bit of a blur. I can't remember too much of what happened. You know, I was at the Cardiff gig, and I remember being amazing, but I can't remember how amazing it was. But if you went to one of those gigs, you'll see it in full Technicolor, and just the power of the performance as well really comes through. It's great.
Various people asked today, should I go and see it? Should I go and see it? But the answer I've said to every single person is, that film is everything you imagined and hoped it would be.
Yeah, it's a beacon of hope. And do you know what I like as well? A couple of people are moaning about, like, it doesn't tell you about, you know, what happened between Liam and Noel and who said what and how did they bury the hatchet. Do you know what, maybe it's time just to put a line in the sand with that kind of stuff.
Get with it.
It was a good feeling, and then more of it, please. Hopefully some kind of announcement imminent. But I think it's out in cinemas in like a day or so's time.
Indeed.
Out in the cinemas in a day or so's time. And Stephen Knight, of course, the writer of the film, is going to be our guest on Home Time on Thursday.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
So we started by talking about the fact that we were at the premiere of the film, the documentary, last night, which was an amazing thing. One thing we forgot to mention about the premiere was that we were sat behind, directly behind, ex-footballers Joe Cole and Wayne Bridge. And it's weird because obviously you've seen them on the telly, been seeing them play live, etc. Very rarely do you get to have a proper look at the back of a famous person's head. You see them for what they really are if you see the back of their head. And I noticed during the film that Joe Cole started off not wearing a hat, and then halfway through put on one of them little flat caps that men wear.
It was quite cold.
It was quite cold, yeah. A little Giacomo flat cap he had on. So it's given us an idea for this, for a little phone-in for the next 20 minutes, half an hour here on Home Time. Sat behind. Have you ever been sat behind someone of note?
Mine's a curious one. Revered film critic Mark Commode.
Mark Commode, yeah.
Revered film critic sat behind him, not in a cinema, in a church.
What were you two doing in the church?
It was Easter. And it was an Easter Sunday service.
Okay.
And Mark Commode was in there.
Oh, brilliant. Did he go up and have communion?
Well, he did everything that you would expect of a church service. I did wonder whether he was going to review the sermon, but he didn't.
Imagine that. Explosive. I'm not going to try and do an impression of him. Just for a second, I thought, have you got a commode impression, Bush? I don't think I have.
It's one of the first you haven't got.
I've just stepped away from that. Yeah. Just stepped away from that. That's amazing. Did you try and have a look at his pockets? I love looking in people's pockets from behind.
No,
do you have anything in there?
I didn't, no.
Little church mouse or anything like that?
I don't think you can spy in churches. It doesn't feel the right vibe.
That's a great story to start this phoner off. It's got a Dickensian feel about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
It really has to. I can't think of a time when I've been sat behind someone that's famous.
Well, Joe Cole and Wayne Bridge.
That's literally it so far. I've lost my cherry. So look, have you sat behind someone famous? Tell us.
My daughter Hannah says this text is stuck on the tarmac at Heathrow Airport like so many others right now.
It's a flight processing system error.
That's what it is.
We've not fallen out with anyone.
No, we haven't, no.
It's just a flight processing error.
That's what it is. But daughter Hannah is currently sat behind Christopher Dean, him off of ice skating, up there in business class. She's in economy.
I hope Jane Torville's not in, you know, economy as well.
Well, surely not. I mean, they don't have to travel everywhere together, do they?
I believe they do.
Do they?
Part of the contract. It's like Ant and Dec.
Got to be sat behind them. Brian McFadden from Westlife at a Stereophonics gig in Sydney says Ryan the Magician.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack in that particular text. Now, there's a couple of people who, like Richie just said earlier on, you have to be sat behind them for this to work.
Yeah.
There's a couple of people I'm afraid we're going to have to deny. This person says met Michaela Strachan up at Hadley Castle. That's not going to work.
Correct.
Unless you were sat behind her, like at the portcullis or something. Chris says, I haven't sat behind anyone famous, but I've had a wee next to Ginger McCain in the toilets at Aintree Racecourse.
Well, unless you were doing a sit-down wee.
Which is absolutely fine.
Which is fine.
But they would need to be north of you, if you know what I mean. And normally that doesn't happen like that. Unless there's something you're not telling us.
Let's have a chat with Carl. Who are you sat behind, Carl?
Sean Bean.
Oh, and where were you sat behind Sean Bean? What was going on?
When I used to watch Sheffield United, well, I still do, but when he used to live in Sheffield, I used to go to matches with him years ago.
Wow.
So, you had a season ticket behind Sean Bean?
Not at that point. I've got a season ticket now, but not at that point. It was just one of them things we used to randomly go to matches. I used to sit behind him most of the time.
Wow, okay. And did you notice anything about him? We were saying earlier on, sometimes when you're sat directly behind people, it's nice to look into their pockets or see what their shoes are like.
No, I didn't look in his pockets. No, because I've known Sean for years.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so, you've known him, right?
So if you turned up then, he didn't turn around and go, someone sat there, mate.
No.
Now, earlier on, you stepped past your Mark Wright impression, but you decided to drop us a Sean Bean, which is great.
Someone sat there, mate. You want to get down there early for any kind of any crisps or something at half time. I beseech thee.
Also sounds like Jarvis Cocker.
It does, a little bit. Your mother, your sister, and your brother.
I'm definitely Jarvis Cocker. Trust me.
Okay, well, listen, we'll release you from this prison, this hell of bad impressions from me.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Take care, fella.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
No, it's not. Cheers.
It's incredible, some of the famous people that our listeners have been sat behind. Afternoon, Bush and Richie. It's Mick from Bognor here.
Oh, hello, Mick.
All right, Mick. Many, many years ago, I was sat behind Lennox Lewis at Noel's house party. I bottled out of asking him for a handshake.
The really weird part of that is the fact that Lennox Lewis must have been in the audience for Noel's house party. Like, because otherwise you'd expect Lennox to be a guest.
This is it.
In Crinkly Bottom. But then said fella behind wouldn't be behind him.
I tell you what, I might have my ups and downs watching Lennox Lewis over the years, but I'd love to see him spark out Mr. Blobby. Imagine him absolutely cleaning him out.
Ryan says, I sat behind NSYNC on a roller coaster. In...
That's incredible. The whole of NSYNC.
It gets better. I sat behind NSYNC on a roller coaster in Disneyland in LA. The ride was closed for them, but for some reason, I was allowed on. A pasty-faced Englishman with a buzz cut who clearly wasn't in NSYNC.
Absolutely incredible story. Love that. We've got Cheryl on the line. I can only imagine who she sat behind. Cheryl, who did you sit behind?
Michael Portillo.
Michael Portillo. I feel like it's almost like a Stars in Their Eyes moment.
Yes.
Tonight, Matthew, I've sat behind Michael Portillo and do a wave into the clouds.
And where was Michael Portillo sat?
Well, in front of me at a Pink Floyd gig at Earl's Court.
What a Michael Portillo gig to be sat. Was he wearing his trademark red trousers?
I think he had something incredibly clashy on, something like red trousers and green jacket, but it was 25 years ago, so I could be mistaken.
Dressed like an old lounge, like pub sofa or something like that.
And you might not have noticed, but was he going around with that big brown leather booklet of old train timetables he always has?
He could have been sitting on them.
Yeah, I get a better view.
Notoriously hard at Earl's Court.
Okay, well, listen, thank you for the intel, and what a gig that must have been.
Oh, it was amazing.
Sean went to see Bill Bailey at Wembley Arena many years ago and was caught in the rain on the way to the venue. Sean says he had a hole in his shoe, so he wrung out his drenched socks on an empty seat in front of him. Only for David Baddiel to come along and sit in his sock juice.
Oh. Every time David Baddiel must be on telly, he must think that in his mind. That's the guy that sat in my... You know what?
Yeah.
This text here says, guys, I was sat behind Tom Jones and his friend unknowingly and turned around to angrily challenge Tom for continually bumping my seat whilst I was having a romantic dinner with my girlfriend at Covent Garden. It turned around only to realise that it was him, and the bumping was due to the fans clambering to get a photograph with him.
Wow.
So it wasn't even Tom's fault.
I'm so sorry, but a point of order. We were very clear these were stories about being sat behind someone, and that person was clearly sat in front of Tom Jones.
Yeah, because he's turned round to have a go at Tom Jones.
Our apologies, that one shouldn't have slipped through.
So that's a bit of radio we shouldn't have done. So anyway, on we go. Richie, you stepped in.
I did. We had to stop the show because we suddenly realised he's turning around, so he can't be sat behind. Sat in front of Tom Jones.
Yeah, this is it.
So it's a bit of a clarification there.
However, we've had a lot of messages in. Hi, Bush and Richie. Just to say that if that fella was behind Tom Jones in the restaurant, it could be allowed if he turned around. You can be behind someone without facing their back. And in a restaurant, he would have been behind Tom Jones, and Tom Jones would have also technically have been sat behind him.
Mark got in touch and said, I think you need to retract your retraction there. It sounds like they were sat back to back with the backs of their chairs facing each other, in which case he was still sat behind Tom Jones and would have had to turn to berate him for the interference.
I know we're proud men, but I think we're going to have to concede that we've made a mistake there.
We will have to, yes.
Okay, so I
think we'll do that. Let's move on. Let's get the show back into gear. Liam is hanging on, hopefully, to talk to us about being sat behind someone. Liam, take it away.
So, I don't know, about 92, 93, my mate Steve, well, my ex-brother-in-law, he played Glenn Tilbrook in the final of Stars in Their Eyes.
Wow. What squeeze song did he do?
Label with Love.
Brilliant. Was he good? How was he?
He did really well. He came fourth in the final, so it didn't quite make it,
Was that in the Matthew Kelly or the Lisa Riley era?
That was Matthew Kelly.
Oh, classic.
Now, so I'm wondering why has this guy got in touch to tell us about his, was it his brother?
His brother, ex-brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law doing really well on Stars in Their Eyes. Does this connect in any way to our phoning about sitting next to or behind famous people?
I was sat behind Richard and Judy, and then sat behind me was Sue Johnson, Caroline Ahern and Craig Cash.
Wow! And
it's like a chain of this.
And they were all in the audience for the final of Stars in Their Eyes.
They were, yeah.
Incredible.
Star-studded. That is star-studded, and it's amazing to speak to you and for you to let us into that particular memory.
No worries, yeah. Thank you.
Cheers,
Liam. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sharon in Belfast says, I went to the Queen's Film Theatre in 1995 and Brad Pitt sat down in front of me.
Hold on.
He was in Belfast practising his accent for the film The Devil's Own. He had a big beard at the time, was very scruffy, wearing a big Peruvian pom-pom hat. He apologised for coming in late and for taking his hat and coat off when the movie had started. I was gobsmacked and I still can't remember what the movie was.
Wow, it was such an impressive celebrity, she can't remember the film. That one wins.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
This month, we need your help to find the ultimate noughties anthem. We're creating a special chart celebrating the biggest songs of the decade, but we need you to vote. You get three votes each, which is going to be caused a big old list there as well to help you, because trying to think of a song from the noughties just off the top of your head is difficult. And by the way, just for voting, you'll be entered into a draw to win £500 cash. Head to absoluteradio.co.uk right now.
Now, with us focusing on the noughties, yesterday we started a series of rhyming-focused years.
Yes.
You may remember, what did you do in 2002? It was a roaring success.
It went well, didn't it?
Now, as you'll know with this show, when something goes well, we think, right, how can we rinse this even more?
Yeah.
So we've committed to focusing on different years with different rhymes as the week goes on.
We're hoping to really box ourselves in by Friday.
I wonder whether we've boxed ourselves in on day two, because today, after yesterday's What Did You Do in 2002... Who was your mate in 2008?
So we're looking for any friend, any acquaintance, just as our producer Nick puts his head in his hands.
I wondered whether you clocked that look.
Any acquaintance you had in 2008, anything goes. We just want to find out a little bit about them.
Now, shows that sometimes when you come up with ideas for the show, you come up with a title first and then you don't think of the consequences.
Yeah.
I was not long divorced, so I didn't have many friends in 2000.
This is the equivalent of me talking about being burgled yes, in 2002.
That's exactly what you did yesterday. You nearly torpedoed yesterday, and today is my turn.
Now it's you sleeping in the car. But it turned out all right, though, didn't it?
It did.
It turned out all right. He's done all right for himself. To balance that, counterbalance that, 2008 was the year just before my eldest daughter, Erin, was born, who's 16 now. Can't believe it. So my good friend Luke Harding, they were having their little girl, Lily, around about the same time. So we were going to, like, parenting classes and stuff together.
Oh, fantastic.
That's a more positive outlook, isn't it?
Much better. Let's focus on positives, yes.
Who was your mate in 2008? Anything goes. Slight panic from us in the song after we said it out there, thinking, is anyone going to go with this? Will you guys get what we're talking about? But we needn't have worried.
Sarah in Swansea says, my best mate, Stacey, a.k.a. Bubba, was my mate who helped me date in 2008. I met my husband. We've been together 18 years, thanks to my mate, in 2008.
They were coupled by Bubba.
Yeah.
Good work, Bubba. Lauren says, my mate in 2008 was Ellie. She was my new best raving friend. Us girls party together all night long, every weekend. I still love her to this day.
Love that.
Another bubba.
Interesting one, this one. Dawn in Huddersfield says, my mate in 2008 was my builder, with whom we shared a few happy afternoons discussing the extension.
Got special rates. Joanne says, my mate Chopkins, been my friend since 1988 and is still my friend now. Now, technically, I guess they were still friends. They were friends in 2008.
Yes.
So that, I don't want to get into a legal dispute like the phoner from the last hour of the show. So we'll just let that one go.
Yeah, I mean,
it's fine.
The friendship started in 2008, right?
The friendship seems to have started in 1988 and has gone through 2008.
Well, then no, it doesn't.
So are we specifically asking for someone that you're now only friends with during the year 2008?
I feel
like we can't narrow the field down that much.
Probably a good idea.
Dave says, my partner Jane. That works.
It's scant on detail, but it works.
But, you know, you can make up your own stuff in your mind, maybe.
My mate in 2008 was Stuart McConnell. We have both been each other's best man. I even introduced him to his wife, and we are still best mates. Our kids love playing together. Outside my family, I've known him the longest, says Mark the Little Trucker.
What did you call him?
Stuart McConnell.
That's his name. DB says Cowboy Dave. No idea how he got that name, though. I think we're getting into murky territory. Just on the edge. Yeah. You know, like when you see the clouds come over, you think, oh, the weather's changed,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it's probably a good time to go inside.
They will try this again tomorrow, but with a different year.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
Well, that is it for your Daily Takeaway podcast. Let's go back to the red carpet pictures from last night's Oasis premiere. And it's been identified that I look curious in them. A, because of the turn-ups.
Curious.
And B, because of some of my facial expressions.
Yes.
And that is your fault.
Why is that? How can that be my fault?
Do you remember that the show finished and we had to scuttle so quickly down to Leicester Square?
Yes.
To get there. And as we were getting off the tube... up against it time-wise, you suddenly go, sorry, guys, I'll meet you outside the tube. I need to get some chewing gum. Yes. And me and our producer, Nick, we're like, what's he doing?
What's
like,
he up to?
So I had to wait at the top. And you scoot out with chewing gum.
Yep.
And they go, anyone want some chewing gum? You want some chewing gum? I went, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll have some chewing gum. And as I was taking it, you went, it's some of that airwave stuff. And it blew my sinuses out.
I love it.
But then we're suddenly on the red carpet and... the gum is now...
It's kicking in.
Yeah, it's kicking in. And then it's done. But there's nowhere to put the gum.
Oh,
you can't
I see.
Drop gum on a red carpet. There's no bins because of security. So in all of these pictures,
yep.
I've got some heavy-duty chewing gum and my face... is looking weird as a result of it.
You're about to spit.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yes, that's what's going on.
We were also walking very close to each other. Yeah. I think one person, I've had a lot of messages about this, someone asked if you were my carer. So I've obviously copped a bit of flack as well. We were doing that walk. You know they do sometimes in performance where two men walk really close to each other and their legs match. Look, anyway, have a look at the videos for yourself. You can work it out.